Lord, please give us your Holy Spirit to strengthen us and to guide us all to the end that this world will be a better place. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our blessed Redeemer. Amen. Oh, I'm Chris Neen. I am the senior pastor of Resurrection United Methodist Church. Welcome. I'm really glad that we can worship together. When I was a kid, we would go up in the summer to my Uncle John and Mary Ann's cabin up on Lake Washburn. And it was a pretty humble affair. He was a United Methodist pastor up in Thief River. They had a double-wide trailer up there. And as kids from the suburbs, we would get up there and immediately go into the camper and find this black and white TV. And to say that it had poor reception for the one channel that was available would be generous. And so we would sit there and fiddle around with this thing and the rabbit ears trying to get this one station to come in. And finally we get so frustrated, we'd say to somebody, can anybody help us get this station in? And somebody would say, why don't you just turn it off? So we'd turn it off and be discombobulated for a little while. And then pretty soon we'd discover the woods, and we'd discover the lake, and we'd discover the dock, and we'd discover the fishing, and the canoe, and the paddle boat, and the swimming. Sometimes you just got to turn it off if you're going to find those other things in life that we're missing. Started last week talking about our community life together. Life together is a phrase that Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a martyr for the Christian faith, hung by the Gestapo right toward the end of World War II. He's a German Lutheran pastor. And when they collected his papers, he had this little document. It was about our life together. And he was talking about the importance of Christian community, especially when you're going through something as trying as World War II and Nazi Germany, and how important it is to have fellowship with each other. But it's interesting, the second chapter of Life Together is about our life alone. And he was making the point how our individual life alone is very important to the strength of our community. That each one of us has a personal responsibility to spend that time alone so that we can bring the insights, the wisdom, and the spiritual strength that we've gained in that quiet time to the larger group. And that if that's not happening, our fellowship is weakened. Last week we talked about how we have a promise between us. Promise that we made to God, that we will be present, that we will be generous, that we will offer our gifts and our talents, and that our fellowship is only as strong as our ability to keep that promise. Well, here's the second part of that. Every week we talk about setting aside some time for a quiet time, and how when you do that, you become a means of grace into this fellowship. It's interesting when you look at the text how even the Son of God had to spend time alone with the Heavenly Father. I mean, as Christians, we're disciples of Christ. Disciple means a student of, so we're trying to learn from the example and the teachings of Jesus Christ. So applying that to our life, when you look at this text in verse 16, Luke says, but Jesus would withdraw to deserted places for prayer. In fact, Luke repeats that again and again. This was the habit of Christ. Again and again and again, he would go away to be alone with God in prayer. And if that was good enough and important enough for the Son of God to do, maybe it's important for us to do too. Maybe for us to be able to carry out our ministry and our calling, we need that same connection with God. In the 12-step world, all the steps are based on Scripture. The 11th step says, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry it out. I really like that, the way it's phrased. That for a person to be able to overcome something as difficult as an addiction, I have to have that connection. I have to be able to set aside that time. And it's not just people that are struggling with a connection or an addiction that need that. All of us need that. Now, quiet time is actually a phrase that's used within the Protestant church. Different parts of the Christian faith have different names for it. And what I mean by that is a time that we've set aside for spiritual practices such as reading scripture and prayer and meditation and listening. All of these, John Wesley said, allow the Holy Spirit to come into our life and flow through us like a stream of living water into other people's lives. That's why it's so important. There's a lot of different things I could talk about when we're talking about having a quiet time. I'm going to take the second part of that phrase and just talk about setting aside a time. A time of your choosing. Because if that hasn't happened, none of the other things are going to follow. It's that essential first step. Like the journey of 1,000 miles begins with that first step. The first step is to set aside a time. Doesn't matter when that time is. But it is a time to rest in God. I remember reading about this harried business executive, and she went to a Christian spiritual guide to complain about how poor her prayer life was and how difficult her relationships were, her marriage and raising her kids, and how hard it had been to balance out everything in her life. And the spiritual guide listened, and finally, after a few moments, he said, "Excuse me," and he went into the back room and he came out with a pitcher of water and a basin. And he said, "Just watch as I pour this water into this basin." As he began to pour, though, the water's splashing around in there. It's going up against the side. Some of it's spilling over onto the floor. And as they sat there and they watched, after a while, the water just began to kind of heave around the bowl. And then it got a little quieter and quieter. And then these fast ripples started going off. And finally, the water was still. He said, "You saw what happened when I was pouring that water, and that's what our lives are like if we don't take any time away. If we're just living our life in contact with other people, we're just bumping into this and having to decide that, and we're not allowing ourselves that time to become aware of God's presence in the moments of our life and the importance of these other people in our lives, and we begin to lose touch with who we are and what's most important if we can't get to that time of stillness. If we're just living as the alarm clock goes off like a starter gun and we begin to just deal with the day." It says in Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I'm God." As far as I can see, that's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. Be still and know I'm God. And that takes a setting aside of time. It's one of the ways that we honor God and we keep things in the right order. Who's calling the shots? Who's the boss and who's not? Winona Carroll is a Christian restaurant worker, and she was using an illustration from her own life, and she was talking about she hired this chef. He's a really good chef, but he's kind of a grumpy guy. And she noticed that she would come in and say, "Hey, I need to talk to you." And with increasing frequency, he would say, "I'm sorry, I don't have time to listen right now. I'm trying to get this food prepared." And at first, she was a little taken back being the owner of the restaurant and all, but you know, she kind of got herself together, gathered herself together, and so she went and said, "I need to talk." And he said, "You know, I'm trying to get this out." And she said, "Just wait a second. Whose work are you doing?" And he couldn't answer. He was stopped. She said, "Don't you think that you should take a moment to hear what I want you to do before you go about doing it?" How many times do you think God wants to stop us and say the exact same thing as we're bustling around? "Yeah, just a second, God. I'll be right with that. Just hold that thought, okay, won't you?" Don't you think God just wants to say, whose work are you doing here? Who's in charge? Having a quiet time is an act of humility. It's reaffirming whose priorities we're trying to live out in the day. Who's in charge? It says in Colossians, the third chapter, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. How can I do that if I'm not just pausing for a moment to think about what I just read? Think about what the Holy Spirit's trying to tell me. I do want to caution, and I want to say this, because a quiet time can so easily become a legalistic thing. And, you know, if 10 minutes is good, then 15 minutes is better. And if I do this for an hour, then God must really love me then. And people go through seasons of their life. Sue and I raised four girls. And I remember when Sue was a stay-at-home mom, and she had all these little bodies, and they were all getting up and ready to go. And, I mean, it was a great day if she got to brush her teeth when she wanted to. Let alone, there's no opportunity to go to the restroom by yourself. There's always like huns banging on the door. Mom, are you in there? So the idea that a mom or a busy dad in that season of your life, what I call the grunt years, is going to be able to sit down with a cup of coffee at the kitchen table and have an hour-long quiet time is preposterous. Your quiet time is probably that time at the toaster while you're waiting for the bread to pop up. But even then, in the rhythm of the day, there can be a prayer, a little missile that you send up to God. This kid, I don't know what to do with this kid. I need your help with this kid. Please help me, Lord. We don't have to lose our contact with God and lose touch with who we are in God's eyes. Dietrich Bonhoeffer warned in Life Together of one thing. He said, don't expect every time that you sit down for a quiet time to be a tingly moment. You know, be realistic, he said. If people are saying that they have the magic formula so that every time that you sit down for a quiet time, you're taken to a mountaintop experience, that's a vain and prideful thing, he said. There are going to be times when you're bored. There's going to be times when your thoughts are jumping around in your mind like monkeys in a tree. There's going to be times when you fall asleep. It's all right. Just know that God's going to honor that time that you set aside. Take the time to be alone with God. It's changing up the rhythm that allows God to change up things within us. And we begin to see and experience life differently. I remember when I came back from my deployment, and I thought, I need to spend some time. I want to spend some time with my wife. And I got my brother and his wife, and we went up to Duluth, and we were going to enjoy a fall weekend. And so we packed up the car. We got on 494, and apparently there are a few other people that thought it would be a good idea to go up north and look at the colors. We fought traffic on 494, 694, 35W, Highway 61, and just sort of got exhausted to this place that we were staying. The next morning, I had gotten this little printout from Minnesota Explorer on roads that you would want to look for pretty leaves. And so we finally got off of Highway 61 on a back road, and then we got off the back road onto a dirt road, and then we finally found this road, and I remember we came up over the crest of this hill, and we were just blessed with this canopy of color. Just boom. And we never would have seen that and experienced that if we hadn't got off the beaten path, the normal routine, and done something a little different. Do you ever wonder how many things God wants to present to you, to reveal to you, to help you along your day? If we just take the time to pause, We were talking a Tuesday morning, you know, how do you know if your quiet time is a good quiet time or a bad quiet time? And Dietrich Bonhoeffer answered that. He said, if you get up from your quiet time and you enter into your life, your family life, your work life, your student life, and you're better prepared to live out your Christian life with other people, then it was a good quiet time. If you're stronger, more courageous, more patient, more generous, more kind, then that was a good quiet time. And if it's not helping you to live out this life, then maybe you don't want to stop having a quiet time. You just want to figure out a different way to spend that time so that you're better prepared to live out this faith. Because that's ultimately, that's the goal, isn't it? To live out this faith, to be little Christs in this world, the body of Christ, carry on his ministry in this world. I hope you can see, and in your mind, you're already thinking to yourself, when you can have this time alone with God. And trust me, in my life, it's a ever-evolving thing. What I'm reading, when I'm praying, how I'm praying, or whether I'm just listening. But that's kind of the joy of it. There's no one-size-fits-all on this whole thing. It's just beginning with that first step. When am I going to do this? When am I going to meet with God each day? And then what I think you're going to be blessed with is a renewed awareness of how important you are in God's eyes. And you'll see that the people around you are children of God too. And it will change your perspective on everything that's happening in that given day. Every day. Amen.